Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the text. Past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how the presence of the Holy Spirit, your connection to Christ and his church, it's not simply all about waiting for what's going to happen after we die. That as if the only thing that matters is, off in the future. Now, again, there is nothing more important than the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. It is the ultimate goal. It is the reason Jesus came into the world. As Paul says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we are to be pitied above all men, because we'll have wasted our life. And the world around us points its finger at you, especially points its finger at me, and says, you're wasting your life. Why are you wasting your life on a God you've never seen? And on a God who lets bad things happen. When you suffer through Paul's laundry list of trouble, afflictions, hardships, calamities, hunger, sleepless nights, when you find yourself in the midst of these things because the sinful world is against you, this does not change the fact, as Paul says, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the favorable time, because even though we have nothing in the eyes of the world, we possess everything in Christ. The reality is that the laundry list of afflictions, hardships, calamities, etc., it is what we deserve. We deserve to die alone and unknown and suffer an eternity in hell. But now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation because of what Christ has done for us, for you in your baptism, taking away the burden and the guilt that otherwise would just drag us down. We will still die as a result of our sin and the wrath of God justifiably punishing the sin of all the children of Adam. And our present death, the death of this body, and eternal death is what we deserve. But God has provided freedom from that eternal death. For those who believe and trust in Christ's death on the cross, that he swallowed up sin and death, we have no reason to fear. The disciples on the boat, as we heard in our gospel reading, they didn't know what to make of Jesus when he calmed the storm. Who is this? Thing that Jesus said to them is, fear not. Don't be afraid. Even when it seems that the sea and everything around you is against you and you have no power. That was the point of them in the boat. They were powerless against what seemed like something that was going to end them. And Jesus says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Our Lord comes to you as you are surrounded by this ocean of trouble in which we live, and says, don't be afraid. The favorable time is now. Salvation for you is now. The resurrection of the body, life everlasting, is your future. The forgiveness of your sin and the new life in Christ is your present. The favorable time is now. Our Lord gave great gifts to his church, not just the future promise of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, but our Lord gave his own flesh and blood that we can participate in and receive forgiveness, life, salvation. He gave to his disciples the authority to forgive your sins, and that authority of the church has been spoken already today. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we hear those words as if Christ our Lord himself speaks them. Because the favorable time is now. The day of salvation is now. You are forgiven and alive in Christ now. Our mortal bodies carry death with it wherever we go. And there's nothing that's going to change that. So long as we have this sinful nature, so long as we are children of Adam. But there is no reason to be fearful or angry over that reality. Because Christ has come to ultimately fix what seems unfixable. And there's many people today who are like Job. We hear about God's response to him in our Old Testament lesson. Job was frustrated with God, among other things, because of the speed with which God carries out his judgment upon mankind. And I love that text. Oh, how I wanted to preach on it. I love preaching on that text. God's, you know, response to Job, you know, who are you to question me? It's magnificent. But Job was frustrated because, thinking like the rest of us, we don't like the fact that people die before what we view as being the appropriate time. No matter how old a person is when they die, we believe that it came too fast. We're frustrated that nothing can defer or hold back death. This is nothing new. The Roman orator Cicero, he said, "No one is so old as not to hope that he will live yet another year." Our human nature continually hopes for longer life. Luther says, "This is the reason why everyone organizes his plans and projects as though he were going to live forever." People try to transform their earthly life into an eternal life, even though all the while, as we are reminded far too often, death is our nearest neighbor. I'm sure that we've all seen the humorous plaque that says, you know, "In this life, God gives us each a certain number of things to do. I'm so far behind, I'll probably never die." As humorous as that thought may be, we know the statement is not true. And for God's people, this is most fortunate. Why would we want eternal life here in this fallen world when God has prepared a much better place for us? As St. Paul says, "I desire to die and be with Christ, which is better by far." It is most unfortunate that so many people are unaware of the frightful condition that God's judgment upon their sin has limited their number of days. Somewhere in the world today, a person dies who yesterday thought that they were going to live another 40 years or more. However, if that person had lived another 40 years, even then he would not abandon his desire for still longer life. What we need to do is learn to live our life in the way that, or learn to view our life in the way that God does. Methuselah lived for nearly 1,000 years. A lot of people would say, well, God must have really liked him. But St. Peter tells us that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The number of days that you live on this earth is not the indicator of how much God likes you or how favorable you are in his sight. In fact, in many cases, God shows mercy to those he loves by decreasing their number of days on this earth. Because of sin, Adam's children, we are destined for a shortened life on earth. What we were originally destined for after the fall was also an eternity in hell. But God immediately promised to send his son to crush the head of Satan. Through that merciful offering, that sacrifice of Christ on our behalf, our life on earth will still be shorter than we would like it to be. And it'll also be filled with, as Paul says, afflictions, hardships, calamities. However, the death of this body is the last taste of death we will ever have. Through Christ, we have life everlasting. Our relationship with God, it is a matter of life and death. More specifically, it's a matter of life or death. God has set you on the road to life. Death no longer has mastery over you. Even though our days are limited on this earth, we look to God and say thank you. Because living under the grace of our baptism, we have life. Salvation is now. Living within the shelter of Christ's church, hearing the words of the absolution, participating in the broken body and shed blood of the Son of God himself, we can come together and come before our Lord in thankfulness, knowing that now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.